If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh, and welcome to the program.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. We are talking about some of the jurisprudential laws related to the month of Muharram based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei, and we'd like to continue along the same line. Sheikh Javid, some religious organizations hold ceremonies and services commemorating the martyrdom of Imam Hussein, peace be upon him. Some of the accounts they recite about how the Imam got martyred, are not necessarily quoted from reliable sources.
Sure.
Right? Or heard from any religious scholars or mujtahid. When the reciters are asked about this, or the source where they are quoting it from, the reply is usually like that, is that the account of the Battle of Karbala can be related by way of inspiration.
Yeah.
As well. And not necessarily through coding. So the question I'd like to ask you is that, can the historical events, such as the martyrdom of Imam Hussein, peace be upon him, and his loyal companions, be related through inspiration, in other words, on the grapevine? If it is not the case, what should be the position of the listeners, of such accounts?
Well, recounting the events in such a way without any evidence of an authoritative account or quoting from a reliable hadith has no basis in Islamic law unless someone says it in his perception of the story. For example, if someone attributes something to the noble prophet, peace be upon him, and his household, without having seen that in any reliable source, it is something wrong. And we know that ascribing lies to the Prophet, peace be upon him, is a grave sin, because it can even impact your prayers and fasting. If you are fasting and you ascribe something false to Allah and to the Prophet of Islam, peace be upon him, it will impact your fasting.
Mm.
So the same is the case with ascribing something to to Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam and his noble family when it's not evidenced
mm-hmm.
by any stories and any reliable sources.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, if someone says that this is my general understanding of the situation, and he describes the situation saying that it's my understanding, it's my estimation, and not something I quote from the book, it's okay, because
right.
people, okay, it is just his assumption,
yes.
and not something.
On condition that he explicitly mentioned that this is my understanding. My judgment.
Yeah. If he says that, that's okay. And of course, if a lecturer says something which is offensive in common view and which people think to be false
mm-hmm.
and not corroborated by any evidence,
yes.
then it is the duty of the audience to forbid evil
mm-hmm.
and of course stop that person from promoting such false things
or rumors. Thank you very
yes.
much. Let's take a short break and then we'll be back and continue our program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. Don't go away.
followers of Ayatollah Khomeini can refer to leader.ir/Ian. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khomeini's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Allah, ya Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah, ya Allah, oh Allah. Don't let me go astray, cause I need you.
Back to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Shaitovid, our guest speaker. We are still talking about some of the jurisprudential laws related to the month of Muharram, commemorating the martyrdom of Imam Hussein, peace be upon him, and his loyal companions, with Sheikh Jawad, based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khomeini. Sheikh Jawad, what's the Sharia law about throwing disposable cups and bowls into the streets, leaving the city in garbage, in fact? You know, as we know that during these ceremonies, lots of people, in fact, distribute food around.
Yes.
And unfortunately, we see that it's not a good sight to look at. You know, sometimes some people, actually not a lot of them, but few people, basically throw and litter away these disposable cups. So what's the Sharia law about this?
Well, one of the scenes which is kind of regrettable, we see that during, for example, the month of Muharram, or even in the month of Safar, when we see when there is an occasion and a meal is served, and the food, the spoons, the cups or disposable, some people who are not educated enough, they eat the thing and then they throw away. So as you rightly mentioned, they leave their streets in garbage.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a good scene to be honest, and it's necessary for the media to educate the people, to tell them that it's not a civilized behavior. It is not okay to leave the city and the streets in mess, and of course everybody has to individually take it upon himself to to throw the cups, the bowls, and everything that are disposable into the bins, and to keep the city clean.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you very much, Sheikh Jawad. Let's take another break, and then we'll be back and continue our program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. Stay with us.
Allahumma arzuqni, Allahumma arzuqni, shafa'atan Husayn.
Back to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Shaitu with our guest speaker. We're still talking about some of the jurisprudential laws related to the month of Muharram, commemorating the martyrdom of Imam Hussein, peace be upon him, and his loyal companions, based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khomeini, with Sheikh Jawad. Sheikh, you know, we know that during this month, Muharram, or even Safar, and more in particular, during the Arbaeen Walk, you see a lot of Muslim communities, you know, distribute food around in somehow makeshift stations or tents in the streets, you know, here and there, left, right, center, you know. And, you know, some people taste a little portion of the food or eat a few spoons from one meal and one food, and because it's not or it doesn't, you know, taste good, they throw it away into the trash cans and bins, and they go for another, for example, makeshift station or mawkib, and try another food. Is there anything wrong with this? I mean, is it basically permissible?
Well, you know that there is a verse in the Holy Quran which explicitly states that Allah does not love those who are wasteful, those who actually spend something in a wasteful manner. So, of course, from even speaking from a rational point of view, let alone the Holy Quran, let alone the ayat of the Quran, or what the infallible imams have said, and the Prophet has said, of course, it is not wise to waste the food simply because you do not like the food, you just throw it. Why not, just ignore and from the very beginning not to eat the food when you have already had a lot, and it's quite wrong, because there are many poor people.
Yes.
The food can be distributed among the poor people because they have empty stomachs, and it's not understandable why such people do this. But I have seen myself, lots of people do this. They just move from one shift station to another station, looking for delicious food. That's not okay, and it's not wise to waste the food.
I see. Sheikh Javid, what's the religious ruling regarding prayers offered in the holy city of Karbala? We know that lots of people go to Karbala during this month or the month of Safar. Should pilgrims shorten their prayers in the holy city of Karbala, or they should offer them in full?
Well, we know that there are certain places where the prayers are a traveler is free to shorten his prayer or offer full prayer.
Yes.
Of course, in the holy city of Mecca, all the religious authorities are agreed on that one is free to offer full prayers or shorten prayers. Also, in the holy city of Medina, a pilgrim is allowed to shorten his prayer or, of course, offer full prayers. But as far as fasting is concerned, fasting is not allowed, because as a traveler, one cannot fast, no matter where he is, whether he is in Mecca or Medina or in Kufa.
Thank you.
As for also Kufa is concerned, it is not, you are free to shorten your prayer inside the mosque of Kufa, but not outside the Kufa.
I see.
And also when it comes to the shrine of Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam, there is a specific room which is called the room where the Qubba is, okay?
Yes.
Or the chamber of the Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam. So where the Zari is, as close as to the Zari, one is free to offer full prayers or shortened prayers.
Mm-hmm.
But when a person steps out of that room, the Qubba, then he is not allowed to offer full prayers.
Thank you very much, Sheikh Javid. Thank you, my dear listeners, for listening to your own program, Islamic Laws, on IRIB English Radio. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Hussein.